Wasn't You, It Was The Wind. So bringing us to just before 10 minutes past 8 on Wild Coast Radio on this Thursday morning. And, you know, before we get into chatting to Danny DeVet, I just want to quickly mention something. That as you grow up and you grow old, and, you know, as Danny mentioned, we were chatting off air, his demographics of his music has now all got grey hair. And I'm no different. But, you know, it's quite amazing. One of the privileges of working in radio and working in media is that you grow up playing the music of the artist over many, many years, and you think, oh wow, that's a cool song. And then one day, out of the blue, you get the chance to actually interview the person behind the music. And we've got that privilege right now with Danny DeVet standing on the line, or standing by on the line, to talk to us about all sorts. And Danny, very good morning. And welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you so much, Wayne. It's my absolute pleasure to chat to you.
And Danny, just to put our listeners in the picture, you know, maybe those of our listeners that maybe haven't got gray hair just yet, but you are involved, or you were involved, with the bands Evoid, Petit Cheval, The Sex Petals, and Wonderboom, which is probably the most recent incarnation of your work. Where do we start? Evoid, Petit Cheval, that takes us straight back to the 80s, when music was real.
It was a fantastic era for South African music. You had, and fortunate, you know, I'm very fortunate that I was, and that's just luck, that I was in two bands that were, that made a big mark. And I basically played with Void as a school band. I met Lucian at CBC in Boksburg, and we had a jam. And that jam changed my life, you know. Though that afternoon, had I not had that jam, my life would have been different, you know. It was one of those life-changing moments. And we actually played a song by a band called Grand Funk Railroad for the talent audition at CBC in Boksburg. And, yeah, and then we had a band called Void, and we went up to Zimbabwe. We were on the circuit playing covers, but we always wrote our own songs. And while we were up in Zimbabwe, because of the EMI, because of the sanctions, some of the record companies wouldn't release stuff in the old Rhodesia.
Okay.
And the song My Sharona came along by The Knack, and it was a big hit. And we bought the single when we got family to send it up to us, all the latest singles. And we were there for 9 months. And we recorded a version, and it went to the top of the charts, and we were on the TV. And that kind of started it for us. And that eventually led to the band becoming Evoid.
Okay.
And I left, and I'm a qualified analytical chemist, and I went and did my final year of chemistry, but I came back for the big Evoid tour because the drummer at the time, Wayne Harker, just when Shadows and Taxi Man were hits, we did this big tour around South Africa to all the universities and kind of everywhere. And we came to the Orient Theatre in East London, I remember.
Yeah.
And and Wayne was actually AWOL. He was on his 7-day pass from the army when he auditioned for the band while I was back at Berkeley. And he got arrested in Grahamstown. I'd done the couple of the shows. Well, he was chased in Durban, so they got me back in to do this tour, which I was super chuffed about. And I was on the tour, and I was going to do most of the gigs, and he was going to take over. But he was a stoner from Yeovil, so he went to Grahamstown, where his town was, and booked into a hotel in his own name, as one would do if you were in that situation. I don't think he saw the reality of it.
Yeah.
And, I was the only one that actually saw him get arrested. I happened to be there standing. The other guys weren't up here. It was early in the morning. And from that night on, I was just going to be like a standby drummer, but I ended up doing the whole tour. So in my book, there's a description of this, because there's quite a lot of confusion with Evoid, because there were a few drummers. It's the two brothers, Lucian and Eric Windridge. And then, because there's a couple of drummers, they you get a lot of guys who say, I played for Evoid. So in my Wonderboom days, I go around the country saying, no, you didn't, to these people that claimed it. But but anyway, so that was the story. And then after that, we went to England. I came back and I joined Petit Cheval. I was married at the time, so I was I was actually asked to join Petit Cheval by Kim Saville before I left for England. But I was too, you know, I always wanted to go to England.
Yeah.
And this is all in the book. And then I came back, and enjoying Petite Rome. Those were wonderful days. Yeah. She was. South Africa was there. You know, there were three TV stations and seven bands that were signed to big labels. And if you had your video on those three stations and you were one of those seven bands, trust me, you were famous.
You were famous automatically.
Quite easy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you've painted a very, very interesting picture of South Africa in the 80s. And, you know, you actually, I even clean forgot about the aspects of guys in that era, at that age, you know, being signed up for national service. And, you know, AWOL, you know, I mean, of all things, going AWOL to perform at a live concert. I mean, that must have made the authorities...
When he joined the band, he was on his 7-day pass and he auditioned and he got into the band. So he just kept quiet and never went back to the army. So he was a fugitive. Yeah. So he was a real outlaw, you know. So I suppose that's pretty rock and roll. And he's now in Germany. He didn't actually stay with the band. The one thing was that Evoid was a very clean band. There was no drug culture with Evoid, you know. And Wayne was the other side. He was the bohemian.
Okay.
So he didn't really fit personality-wise. So he was a great drummer, but he didn't...
Didn't quite fit in.
I loved doing that tour. For me, coming back to do that tour was just like a nice cherry for me on the top of the cake. And then to go on to Petite Rome. It was just like so amazing, you know?
And while you had your roots in these two bands in the 80s, you didn't actually, your music career didn't end there, because you actually got into the back end of the music industry, and you were a driving force.
That's correct.
in the industry itself.
I co-owned a venue in Bromfontein. And that was in the 90s. I didn't even know there's going to come another wave of bands. So Squeal and Springbok Nude Girls and Urban Creep and all these bands. And at Mark, the club was called Wings Beat Bar. Uh-huh. And Karin Zoid would come there as a student. She was at the School of the Arts. And Chris Chameleon had his first high school band there. Uh-huh. And, you know, so we had all – so that was just, again, luck that I did that. And from there, I was headhunted to join David Gresham Records, where I signed Prime Circle. Uh-huh. And I worked, I did a couple of labels. I did the Mute label, which was Depeche Mode and Erasure and Nick Cave. And I also did the V2 label. So I got to meet Richard Branson and go to meetings with him a couple of times. But David Gresham's such an icon, you know, to work with him and learn all that. And from there, I moved over to a company called Sovereign. Uh-huh. And I did 6 years of the Parlor Tone. So I don't know if you've heard of the Parlor Tone.
Oh,
I was the PR guy.
Yes, I think we've played them once or twice on the radio, of course. Wow. Another iconic band.
Wow. So, well, then I did my job well.
Hey? No, you did. Definitely. We've heard of the Parlor Tone.
So, I'm being facetious here, but it was a wonderful to see a band like the Polytones go from literally opening for Vonnegut, my band, and other bands like Sugar Drive at the time, and actually fill out the dome.
Yeah.
It was to actually watch a band rise and be part of that in the team was very, very fulfilling, you know?
Yes.
But then at the same time, God gave me two great gifts. The one is my son, Luca, who rebelled against his musician dad by becoming an accountant.
Oh, wow.
Although he's, you know. And, my dad was an accountant, and I rebelled by becoming a rock and roller.
So the circle is closed.
The circle is complete. You're absolutely right. And so he gave me that gift, and then God gave me the most amazing midlife crisis. I joined a band of guys in their 20s when I was in my 40s, and they were called Vonderboom. And I was the Vonder, and the other three were the Boom.
Right.
And we traveled around South Africa causing mayhem, because I'm a prankster. I pull pranks all the time. And that was just the band is still going. Vonderboom is 26 years, and I was there for the first 13 years.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. It was, and so the kind of sum total of all that is, I've never grown up.
Oh, no, you don't have to. If you get to your age and you haven't, don't bother. But Danny, looking at Vonderboom, just quickly, 26 years for a band, that's a pretty good lifespan for a band, especially in South Africa.
I know. But to them, it's like 2 years because I lit up the first spliff back in 1995.
And they haven't stopped.
And this morning, they're like, hey, man, it's been 26 years.
Yeah. I was wondering if the Wonderboom was more than just that tree north of Pretoria, or the suburb north of Pretoria.
I can tell you a very quick anecdote. We were going to call the band all sorts of names, and then Sita saw a sign, but it's nothing to do with Pretoria, funny enough. Uh-huh. It's outside Kroonstad. And we said, are we going to call the band Wonderboom? And we said, yes, because it's Wonderboom in English.
Yeah.
And we had to come up with I said, yeah, but we can't say it's named after a sign outside Kroonstad. That's a bit lame.
Yeah.
So we said it was a sign that pointed to a prison. It's a prison. And then 10 years later, I said, if we get bust, well, that's rock and roll. We're taking a chance.
Take that
and,
chance.
And 10 years later, for the 10th anniversary, we were sitting around the boardroom table at David Gresham Records, and people were looking for locations for a photo shoot. And they went, why don't you take one at the prison that you named after? And we were all going, yes. And then Sito went, guys, there is no prison. We're believing our own crap now. We made that up.
Oh, my goodness. So the lie perpetuated for so long. But Danny...
Well, you know what it's like. You say it often enough, you start believing it. You know?
Indeed. If I can take you back quickly to the 80s, an era of big concerts. Tell us about Concert in the Park at Ellis Park.
Okay, thank you. That's a great question. So Yaza Twist. My picture is in the Concert in the Park album. If you buy the album, CD.
Okay.
And I didn't play that one.
Oh, no.
I was already in England ahead of it. But I played the next year. There were two concerts in the box. It was one in 85 and one in 86. And they both had huge crowds. But obviously the 85 one was the iconic one, which I wish I'd played.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But I came back from it. I just looked at it. I got back and I joined Petit Cheval. And then by the time the record came out in the September, because the gig was in the end of January, when I got back, I joined the band, and when they asked for a picture for the album sleeve, they gave the latest picture of Petit Cheval, which I'm standing on. So anyway, I played the next year, and it was fantastic. I spent my whole life with friends of mine or acquaintances or relatives or holding that album at a bri and going, Danny, you must be whacked out of your brain if you can't remember playing there because he has your photo on the record. So it's quite an interesting trip. So the second one was great, but I wish I played that first one.
First
and
one.
All my friends, like Mary Rose from Hotline and Heather Mac from Elemental, we were chatting the other day. Tim, I was also talking to Tim at the same time. And they all just say that that's the best show of their life. And for me, the next year was the biggest concert that I played.
Yeah.
But, I have to be completely honest and say, I could tell everyone I was there because my photo's on the album. Did you come up for that concert?
No.
Because a lot of people traveled to come in.
Unfortunately not. It would have been one of those concerts I would have watched possibly on television or videos. After the event. So,
yes, they did a whole big video. Mm. And the crazy thing is that the guy who played for, because Evoid had parted ways with Wayne already, the drummer that was arrested. And the guy that played drums on the concert park looks a bit like me. And so people think it's me. It looks like me. But his name is Kevin Gibson.
Okay.
He's a fantastic Cape Town jazz drummer.
Right.
And he was young. Yeah. So he played that show for Evoid. And not many people know that. So Kevin's one of the guys who can say he played for Evoid.
Yeah.
Apart from the other 20 guys I've met
that you've never seen.
You know, I go to Port Alfred and they say to me, oh, it's great. Tonight you're going to meet the guy who runs the Backpackers. He also played for Evoid. And then later at night, I was like, no, you weren't there.
Yeah.
And so they always set the record straight, you know? Yeah.
So it's one of those bands, and one of those bands that had a lot of comings and goings. But just thinking that playing those live gigs and the concerts in those days were pretty big.
Yes. No, they were. They absolutely were. No, it's all good. On that Evoid tour, we actually played I remember the Durban University and Pietermaritzburg. We played to 3,000 people at 6 o'clock and another 3,000 at 9 o'clock. We did two shows in a night.
Right.
It was hectic. Eh? But then Lucy and I have been friends for 50 years. Mm. And in London, when I was working for David Gresham, I'd go over to England quite a lot because of the record labels that we represented here. And Lucien, at one point, was so out of the music industry that I would always visit him. We would go down to the pub. It's like two old mates, you know, you're walking down the road on the way to the pub. It feels like you spoke yesterday, even if it was a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one time, while we were playing at the Chelsea Hotel, which is a famous venue in Joburg, and everybody played there in the 80s, the producer, Matt Langer, came to watch us.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we're in London all these years later, and as Lucien and I are on our way to the pub, David Gresham books in. We'd been at a conference, and he was now coming to London, and he's talking to Lucien, and he started the company with Matt Langer. Mm. So as we're walking down the road, Lucien says, "Oh, I didn't know David started the Gresham Records with Matt Langer."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he said, "Remember, we played for Matt." And I said, "Yeah, how can I forget? That was such a privilege." And Lucien was so out of the scene then, and his kids weren't big enough to bring him back into the modern scene. Mm. And he turns around to me. This is in the early 2000s or late 90s. And he says, "Whatever happened to Matt Langer?" So I said, "Wow, he's married to Shania Twain for a start." And it was because he was at that point. And Lucien looks at me, and he denies it to this day, but this really happened. He looked at me and he went, "Is she some kind of movie star?" And I was like, "Lucien, you're a hippie. You're a hippie in London. You don't need to see it anymore, you know?
But definitely out of it. Wow.
Lucien is an amazing musician and an amazing person and a phenomenal guitar player, you know?
Sure.
So,
you know
that him and Robin Orr.
Yeah.
He funny enough, it was so ironic because Robin Orr, who is also a phenomenal guitar player and singer, and Robin learned all his African licks through Lucien, but in London. They were not in Africa when he learned the African guitar. So those are the kind of snippets that are in my book. It's the behind the scenes stories.
That's what we're getting to, and that is the book and also the show that you are doing with Kerry Hiles, Sex, Drums and Rock and Roll in Africa. And that's the book and the show. I can just imagine that the show is going to be a good couple of hours of what you've just shared with us over the last couple of minutes.
That kind of thing. And then I play songs, but I play relevant songs that people know. That's not all South African music and that. I play a bit of the Rolling Stones. That ties into the narrative. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my sister, when she was 19, married an armed robber when he came out of jail. That's true. So when I tell that on stage, the people are like, "What?" And then I said, it was the best thing that could happen to me. Because I went to my mom, "I want to join a band. I want to do all these wild things. I want to have my wicked way with groupies, etc." And my mom put her arm around me and she said, "That's fine, my boy, as long as you don't marry an armed robber." And then I go on to tell about how my mom was all upset with me, with my obsession with the Rolling Stones. And then there's a punchline, and then I go into a Rolling Stones song. Okay. So it's very exciting. And to play with Kerry is such a privilege for me. It's the first time I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah.
And I have my good friend, Alan Kotzer, who managed the Polytones in the latter years, or post that Sovereign. He saw Kerry when she was 19 years old, playing in a Richard Loring show with the Morvatoni.
Wow.
And we've spoken about Kerry Hiles, and now another full circle that I'm actually playing with Kerry. I'm so looking forward to it. She's a proper singer and a proper musician, and she brings the sex, and I won't be bringing drums. I'm bringing the acoustic guitar and my stories.
Well, it's going to be a good show. You've chosen the right person to team up with. That I can guarantee. The absolute professional. I've worked with Kerry. I've had the privilege of working with Kerry many, many times from way back when she was about 14 years old. But that's a story for another day.
14?
Ask her about Turbo Beats. I'll leave it at that.
I definitely will.
But where is the show going to be, and how can people get tickets?
Okay, so the show we need to focus on for your station and your demographic, I believe, is Thornwood.
Yes.
In London. And I see they have a pork rib special for $2.20 for a kilo. So I hope the venue will be happy that I told everybody that. And yeah, just pull in. You can book. You can look on Facebook. Kerry's got everything, and on my Facebook as well. Mm. And I'm sure on the venues. And yeah, and then from there we're going to Hogsback. Uh-huh. We're going to Happy Hogs, and then the Red Apple in Bushman's, and then the Music Kitchen in. It's going to be 4 days of. I don't know if Kerry is going to know what's going to hit her because, mind you, I'm pretty shy and retiring, as you can hear. I don't talk much. So
you don't.
The road trip should be boring.
Kerry's done a fair amount of those in the last couple of months as well. But, Danny, thank you very much for chatting to us. It's been an absolute privilege.
I'm going to tell you about Shadows. I believe you're going to play out with Shadows.
Indeed, yes. I'm going to play out with Shadows right now. Quickly tell us about it, please.
Shadows, I played to three generations because one of them did a cover of it. And it's a kind of song you can watch the audience. If people are hearing it for the first time, it's such a great song that they sing along by the end. And thank you so much for the interview. And I can't wait to meet you. And all the best. And viva South African rock, viva.
Definitely.